This episode is sponsored by Xcel Energy. Xcel Energy is dedicated to providing 100% carbon-free energy by 2050, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. Join Xcel Energy and you'll find a purpose-driven career, solid job security, and challenging work. Xcel Energy knows the value your military service brings to the workplace. It's an exciting time to be in the energy industry. Whether you're on active duty, transitioning, or already embarking on your civilian career, learn about the opportunities with one of America's leading utilities, Xcel Energy, at xcelenergy.com/military. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to challenge and support members of the military community to reach their peak potential in their civilian career and in their personal lives. Today's episode number 329, Active Duty Army to the NFL with Alejandro Villanueva.
I never really wanted to go pro. You know, to me, it was not one of those things that I set in mind. I didn't have a poster of a football player in my room growing up. But the priority has always been for me to have a family. And that was since I was a kid. I think a lot of people always, you know, aim past the basic goal of being surrounded by people that love you all the time. And so for me, it was always to have a family.
Today's episode originally aired in August of 2018. Today, we are rebroadcasting this episode because when I spoke with Rick Healy, who heads up Beyond the Uniform's social media efforts, and asked him what his favorite episode was, he had this to say.
Hey, Justin, it's Rick. I have a lot of favorite episodes, but it's football season, so I'll go with number 195 with Alejandro Villanueva. He's a West Point grad, 5 years in the Army, and went direct from the Army to the NFL, and he's now a Pro Bowl offensive lineman with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Absolutely amazing and inspirational story, and a lot of people were probably introduced to him for the USA commercial a few years back. But what you don't know and what you hear in the interview is how he had some real struggles getting off active duty, trying to make the NFL, and how it almost didn't happen. He's really open and honest about that, and you just see the perseverance and the commitment and the hard work that got him there. And it's just an awesome story. I think everyone should listen to that.
If you have a favorite episode that is over a year old that you would like to have rebroadcast, you can record a quick explanation at beyondtheuniform.org/contact, and we'll try to get that re-aired. As always, at beyondtheuniform.org, there is show notes with links to everything we discuss, as well as 330 other episodes just like this one. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Alejandro. Well, joining me today in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, is Alejandro Villanueva. Alejandro, thank you so much for joining me today.
Justin, thank you so much for having me.
I wanted to give a quick background. Alejandro is a left tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He started out at West Point, where he played left tackle, defensive lineman, and wide receiver. He was voted to be team captain his final year at West Point. And a feature story in the Army football program read, quote, "Already touted as the tallest football player in the country, Alejandro completed the transformation from being an offensive lineman for the past 2 years to running routes on the field with the starting offense last Saturday night," end quote. He served as a captain in the Army as an Army Ranger and was decorated with a Bronze Star for Valor, having served 3 tours of duty in Afghanistan. After his military service, he was signed by the Philadelphia Eagles and later by the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, Alejandro, maybe to start off, you know, one of the things, there's so many things that's interesting about your story, but you grew up playing rugby. Could you explain a little bit more about your upbringing and how you got introduced to football?
Well, I mean, I didn't grow up playing rugby. I grew up doing everything but contact sports, I would say. I was a swimmer my whole life, and then it just got to a time where there was too many hours in the swimming pool, and it is a lonely sport. You know, you can't even talk to people in between sets because you're in a swimming pool, and it's not the most social environment. So I had to find another sport, and I had rugby in my hometown, and so I started playing rugby. And when I moved to Belgium for my junior and senior years in the high school, at this American high school, they offered American football. And it was the first time that I was introduced to the sport. It was played in a park, very low profile. I didn't know that it was so big in the United States at the high school level. And for me, it was a beautiful experience because I don't think I would have been able to play in the United States. But because I was playing overseas in a military installation, you know, where parents are coaching the kids, I was able to find, you know, a low, you know, low threshold, you know, not a lot of talent required to start type of environment. And I had the best time, you know, when I was playing in high school. And so I fell in love with the sport and I've played it ever since.
That's incredible. At what point did you think I wanna do this for my career? I wanna go pro.
I never really wanted to go pro. You know, to me, it was not one of those things that I set in mind. I didn't have a poster of a football player in my room growing up. I didn't think that football was a priority in my life at any point, including. I mean, it is now because it is my job and this is how I feed my family. But the priority has always been for me to have a family, and that was since I was a kid. I think a lot of people always, you know, aim past the basic goal of being surrounded by people that love you all the time. And so for me, it was always to have a family. And then, you know, I've always liked the structure and the values of the military. And so because of that, I wanted to serve and I wanted to have that for my family. But, you know, life takes a lot of turns. You know, I got into the military when we were at war and everybody was deploying nonstop. And that was a lot of fun. I mean, it really was a passion and something that I really was meant to do. But, you know, as you start sharing your life with someone else and the war in Afghanistan was, you know, maybe not as relevant as it was in 2010, 2012. In 2014, I decided to get out of the military and try to pursue something different that could potentially pay for business school, which is my ultimate end goal. So that I could, you know, continue support for my family. I don't think anybody has plans of becoming, you know, a professional singer, professional actor, or professional athlete, because it's just so difficult to do, and it requires a lot of luck and a lot of being at the right place at the right time.
Could you share more about, you know, when you left the military, what was that process like? The tryouts, like how did you approach that and prepare for that?
Well, you can't really prepare for that because there's not a lot of players from West Point that go through that process. Some players, you know, they commission and then they try to remain as close to the game as possible by volunteering and staying at West Point or taking assignments that will put them in close proximity of training centers or units that are not going to be very active in terms of deployment. But in my case, it was completely the opposite. I mean, I didn't want to have anything to do with football. I wanted to experience the military and the infantry to the fullest. So I went to 10th Mountain Division, then I went to Ranger Regiment. And when it was time to go, when I decided that it was time, you know, for me to maybe try the NFL and pursue that route, I tried out during block leave. So, you know, we got back from a deployment. And we had 15 days off for the whole unit. And so I took that time. I went up to Detroit and I did a tryout that the NFL offered. I don't know if they offer them anymore, but essentially it was an open tryout for the public to go into the NFL. and I went there. I got a private workout offering from the Philadelphia Eagles. And it was, you know, right around the same time that I was in Maryland visiting my in-laws. And so I drove up to Philly. I did the workout and they decided to sign me. And then from there, it became a little bit complicated because then you go into the details of the military. So I was still active duty. I was still an XO in one of the companies in 1st Ranger Battalion. And so I had to initiate the process of, getting out of the military, turning in all my equipment, and also work out with the Philadelphia Eagles for their organized team activities. So essentially, I had 60 days of leave, I think, at that point, because I never took a day of leave when I was in the military at my 4.5 year mark. And so I would take leave from Monday to Thursday, and then I would drive from Philly down to Savannah, where I was stationed. It was a 12.5 hour drive, show up in the morning to PT, work on Friday, stay in Savannah with my wife on Saturday, take leave again on Sunday, and then drive up to Philly. And I did that through, you know, OTAs, which is essentially from April until June. And then I went back to Savannah for 5 weeks where you know, NFL players are off. And then for training camp, you know, I took my last few days of leave. And then it just so, you know, happened that the day, the final day of cuts was my final day in the Army. And so they actually cut me a couple of days before my end date in the military. And so I had to go back to Savannah. I was, you know, it was a weekend. They cut me on a Saturday. And I thought I was going to have to go, you know, drive back down on Sunday and then go back to work. And like nothing had ever happened on Monday, which was a little bit embarrassing, you know, considering the fact that, you know, the unit was moving on and then I have to come back and, you know, essentially tell everybody that I failed. But the Steelers called me on Sunday night and I was able to drive down to Pittsburgh and sign with the practice squad. And so the rest is history.
That's wild. That's wild. I just can't even imagine the emotional roller coaster.
Well, I mean, I guess you get pinned against the wall and it's, you know, you can't quit and you know, all you can do is continue to go forward. You know, there's not a lot of options, you know, that I had at the time. It wasn't an easy time because it was very stressful. Obviously, you know, drive down from Philly all the way down to Savannah every single week. That's 24 hours of driving a week. There's obviously the pressure of making the team because you're leaving behind a job that people in the military would die for, which is to serve in the Ranger Regiment. Mm-hmm. And also because my family's on hold. And so, you know, when I was, you know, getting out of the military and then the NFL cut me, I didn't know what was going to happen, if they were going to reassign me to another base or if they were going to send me to another school, if I was going to have to add more time to my service. And that added a lot of uncertainty. So it's one of those situations where you try to make the best out of it every single day. And in the end, you get lucky. And in my case, something good happened. Mm.
And I like to try to dig into what your day-to-day life is like. I interview a lot of different veterans talking a lot of different career paths. And I know that you are literally just days before the Steelers camp opens. Could you kind of maybe just walk us through what your life is like throughout the year and kind of what the activities are that go on throughout the week for you?
Yeah, so that's the one thing that is very, I wouldn't say fun. I say it's very easy about being an athlete is the fact that the routine is so predictable. I mean, I know exactly where I'm going to be every single day of the year from now all the way until February, hopefully, because the week looks exactly the same. I do nothing outside of my routine every single week. And so the week is pretty much, the week starts, you know, after a game on Sunday, whether it's, you know, 8 o'clock, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, whenever is it that I get home. I'm too wired to go to bed. So I'll stay up all night, you know, watching history documentaries. I will wake up on Monday morning and we have to come in at 1 o'clock. And we usually get a lift in the morning. So I try to get something to eat, you know, for the first time since the game. We watch film. We get done, you know, right around 5:30. Tuesday is our day off, but everybody comes in and watches, you know, film on the opponent, on who is it that we're going to be playing. And we also try to get another lift. Getting lifts in there in the NFL are crucial to keep your body healthy. They're not to gain strength or to try to, you know, set up PRs. It's mostly so you can move your muscles a little bit. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are the practice days. And so Wednesday is the hardcore day. It's the biggest install day. You know, you start at 6 o'clock in the morning and you get done at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. You drive back. I spend time with my family. I eat dinner. Puts the kids to bed. You know, watch a couple of shows with my wife. Same thing on Thursday. And then Friday is a half day. So we get done roughly around 1 o'clock. I try to take a nap. I try to start getting ready for the game. Saturday, we have a walkthrough in the morning, and then we meet at the hotel, whether it's in Pittsburgh or a city, the city that we're playing in. And then Sunday, you wake up and you play the game.
Man, I mean, it sounds intense. It sounds busy. I mean, it just sounds like you're always on the move and going on to the next place or the next game.
Yeah, well, it's not really busy because I know exactly what's going to happen. And so when you have predictability in life, whether it's the military, whether it's you know, any other job. If I know exactly what I'm going to be doing at a specific time of the day, then that reduces stress tremendously, and it helps perform. And so in my case, I know exactly, you know, based on the city that we're going to be staying in, I know exactly where I'm going to be each hour of the day for the next few months. And so that helps deal with the high pace and then the fact that you have to be on the move, just like you said, all the time.
What is the off season like for you then?
The off season is somewhat more challenging because you go from having this routine that is so effective and you really like to work and you really like the you know, wake up every morning and find a purpose. And then in the off season, you just hit a wall where, you know, one, your body starts somewhat decaying and you just have no energy. You're very fatigued. And then, you know, you just have nothing to do. I mean, you want to give yourself a good month before you start, you know, working out again or thinking about getting in the gym. So usually the month of February/March is reserved to doing nothing. A lot of players take vacations. A lot of players, you know, go do the traveling they want to do. I enrolled in Carnegie Mellon University in the MBA program a couple of years ago, obviously thinking that I was not going to be able to play in the NFL simply because of my status as an undrafted free agent. And so I started taking classes in the off season, sometimes during the season as well, because a lot of the courses don't offer them all year round. And so for me, the off season usually entails spending a lot of time with my family, going to class, and then diving into different endeavors that are not really necessarily, you know, football or sports related.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I think one thing I admire about your story is I could just imagine. I mean, you're living the dream of so many different people, and I could imagine just kicking back and reveling in that. But it's incredible to see you pursuing education and be doing these side pursuits. That's I think that's really admirable.
Well, I mean, you know, to say that you live in someone else's dream is a little bit of a stretch. I think everyone has, you know, his own struggles in life, whether you're doing great or you're not doing so great. I don't think I've ever looked at my life as something that, you know, people would envy, simply because of the fact that, you know, that I have my own issues as well. And you know, at the end of the day, it's as much work as, you know, maybe working in New York City and then having to grind it out every single day. So, you know, I live under a lot of pressure. You know, the sports media is just something that, you know, really hammers you every single time you don't have a good game and puts a lot of pressure on the next one, regardless of what the outcome of the last game was. And so, you know, it's not like you can really relax and kick back and think of anything good that's ever happened in your life. You're always constantly being reminded of, you know, the things that you haven't done and what is it that you need to do to put your family in the best position.
Mm. Yeah, I can only imagine the amount of scrutiny that goes on, and just that's got to be intense to deal with that. One of the things I was curious to ask you about is with your military service, you are a relative anomaly. Like, what do your teammates think of that? Is that just kind of an interesting story that they hear about at the bar, or do they have any thoughts on the fact that you had such a different path getting there than they did?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people get to the NFL, you know, through different, you know, paths. I mean, some players try out the same way I do through pro days, through smaller venues. They're not necessarily the first round pick players that get the red carpet, you know, when they're rolling to the facility. But I don't know. I mean, you have to ask them. You know, I don't know what it's like to have somebody that is so different, you know, in terms of the way that they picked up the game and the program that they attended. I consider myself extremely lucky and very fortunate to have people that have, you know, that have put me in this position. So I don't know. I guess it's a mixture of both.
Yeah.
You know, maybe just coincidence and surprise.
And I'm sure, so most of the people listening to the show are currently on active duty. They're thinking of what they want to do when they get out of the military. For people listening that aspire to go into professional sports in general, or maybe even the NFL in particular, what advice would you have for them for pursuing this as a career path?
I mean, that's a tough question. You know, the magic key to go into the NFL, if that's something that you want to, you know, pursue. I think that, you know, the NFL is not a very fair and is not a very, you know, easy place to get into just because there's so many players trying out every single year. Something has to happen, you know, that is going to make you stand out, whether it's the fact that somebody gets hurt, you know, that is playing your same position, whether it's a connection with a coach, whether it's the ability to do something that nobody else can do in the entire world, whether it's running a 40 in less than, you know, 4 seconds, 4.4, or whether you can bench press, you know, a lot of weight. You have to have something unique, especially if you come from the military, where you don't have a lot of the game tape, I would say, that the most players have. But, you know, at the same time, I would always warn people that are trying to get out of the military, finding, you know, in hopes of finding something that is going to be easier or, you know, better for their lives, that sometimes you got to be really careful what you wish for. The things are not as easy, and you're truly not going to find the happiness that you think you are, even if you have more money and even if you have more a job that you might have, you know, more respect for. I think the things in life that truly, you know, give you a lot of value are your friends and your family and your ability to feel purpose. And so that's something that you're not going to really find, you know, in maybe professional sports. I think it's something you have to do some soul searching and fix before you even try to do something else. Mm.
And I'm wondering, as you look back on your time at West Point, as you think of your time in the Army, what do you think was the most helpful things you took from that time that helps you right now in the work you're doing?
Well, I mean, I'm having kids now, and I'm raising them, and I'm making the decisions as a parent, and I try to put, you know, some of the values that I had and some of the things that I thought I did well in life, and try to teach them to my kids. So that they can carry those values forward. And I would say that, you know, one of the things that West Point, you know, that West Point really gave me was the ability to overcome challenges, whether they were academic or physical challenges. I think, I was always somebody that never found comfort in anything, maybe because I was so far away from my family, when I was at West Point. And maybe because, you know, I was so embarrassed to ever, you know, quit or come back home, you know, without having achieved something, that ultimately allowed me to endure a lot of uncertainty in life, a lot of, you know, tough challenges, whether they were, you know, Ranger school, whether they were deployments or training camp. And I think that West Point, you know, does a really good job, you know, giving you this long 4-year challenge of not being in contact with people, of not, you know, of really taking away a lot of the things that you really want, which are, you know, especially if you're 20 years old or 19 years old, you know, you want to be able to go out, you want to be able to party, socialize and whatnot. And so I think West Point takes away something that you really want, and you're able to measure yourself of, you know, as to how can you do without, you know, getting what you want for 4 years. And in that case, I think it really helped me. Mm.
You spoke to this a little bit ago, but I always like to ask too about anything that was unexpected about your career transition. I think most people, myself included, when you're on active duty, you kind of envision what your life will be once you're out of the military. And I think it's helpful for listeners to hear about that. Does anything stand out as kind of a blind spot for you, or something that you were surprised at when you did make the transition to civilian life?
Yeah, so I would say that maybe it happens to everybody. Maybe it would have happened regardless of whether I would have stayed in the military or not. But I think that when I was in the Army, when I was at West Point, I was in the football team. I had unbelievable, you know, I had, you know, 120 friends essentially that were almost, you know, they were brothers, and on the football team. And then obviously I had, you know, the core cadets, 1,000 cadets that were, you know, of similar interests, similar life circumstances. And it was really easy just to get along and to find, you know, friends if you ever felt lonely. Then you move into the Army and you have a unit, which is the same size. You got 38 men if you're in an infantry platoon that are just like your brothers. And then you have a bigger company that has a lot more people and battalions and whatnot. So you're always constantly surrounded by people that care about you. And then as soon as you get out of the military, then those circles, maybe because you don't spend as much time with those people, or maybe because, you know, people are not willing to risk their lives for you, then those relationships, you know, sort of go away in your life and you somewhat miss them. You know, I do have a lot of fun, you know, with my family. I do have a lot of fun with my teammates. But it's not the same experience that I can get when I deploy to Kandahar for 12 months. And I'm talking to a private, you know, from Idaho about his life experiences and how, he's trying to, you know, change his life and he's asking for help, because, you know, maybe I can do something to guide him in the right way. I think those relationships are very fulfilling and then are surely missed, you know, once you get out of the military.
That's great. I also like to usually ask about resources you would recommend. I don't know if there's anything that comes to mind, a book you've read, movie you've watched, podcast you've listened to, just anything that's helped you since you left the military that if someone's listening today, maybe they're on a ship, maybe they're overseas, maybe they're deployed, something that they could do today that might help them in their civilian career one day.
Yeah, that's a tough question. I like to read. I think that the last book that I read, which I thought was really good, was called Sapiens, Brief History of Humankind. I think it gave you a good perspective on, the way that humans have come up with pretty much everything around us and the mindset that we have when we try to make efficient decisions as a species. And I think that sometimes thinking in those broad terms has helped me maybe not make such a big deal out of the problems in my life. So I've always tried to put myself and my problems last and then maybe put, you know, society's problems, you know, on a bigger stage. In terms of resources and help, I think that, family and friends are always a supportive mechanism that you have to develop. But, networking is one of those things that maybe you have to learn how to do. And I would say that LinkedIn is one of those tools that helped me sort of understand, you know, how networks work, how professional networks work, you know, how jobs are, sort of regionally aligned, you know, with certain skills. And if you're able to really use the application and really use and then take the most out of LinkedIn, you can find, you know, great resources for maybe your next job or your next endeavors.
That's great. And I'll add that book Sapiens to the show notes. I've heard incredible things about that and I haven't read it yet, but it does seem like it does give that long lens on who we are as people and puts things in perspective. Well, Alejandro, I know it's late where you are on the East Coast. You just put your kids down to bed. You've got a crazy, grueling schedule later this week. I appreciate your time. I always like to keep the last question open-ended. And I've asked a lot of questions, and you've shared some great perspective. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to share or impart with before we wrap up with listeners?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, in terms of, something that maybe I thought about when you were asking, you know, to this podcast, this interview is, the fact that in the military, you're always going to have a safety net that is going to, always give you another chance, prop you up, put you in a different job, Once you get out of the military, you lose that net. But that net becomes your confidence in yourself. It becomes, you know, your ability to make decisions and your ability to bounce back on your own. And so I know from experience, because I've experienced, you know, in the low of the low after you get out of the military, had an issue clearing my equipment with the Army. They issued me a debt. The address on the DD-214 was erroneous, and so they sent it to the wrong address. I never was notified from the debt. My credit score went down to 500. I was not able to apply for student loans to go into Carnegie Mellon. I was also not able to, even rent an apartment or even buy a house because my credit score was so low. And, you know, football was not really, you know, pointing up in terms of me being able to make the team for the next year. So that sort of scenario happens to every single person, you know, that I've known that has gotten out of the military, whether it's for business school and, you know, they're hopeful to get the job of their dreams. They've been told that because they served, that because they have certain skills, that it will not be very difficult for them to find a job. But the reality is that those transitions are always difficult. But in the end, they always have a happy ending. You know, if people do trust in who they are and the things that they've learned from the military, the values, the skills, it always has a happy ending. And not just, you know, from a professional, but also from a personal standpoint. And so I always encourage people just to not really give up, you know, when things start getting, you know, steep and you see no safety net, you know, that the government, you know, was always going to provide for you. But to continue to work hard, to trust and believe in yourself, and to know that you've been prepared, you're above most people that surround you that don't have the experiences you do, and then things are going to, you know, be okay in the end.
That's great. I mean, I appreciate your candor and transparency in all this and in speaking openly about these challenges that you're right. Every single person faces. Everyone has their own obstacles. And I love that way of looking at things where, you know, yes, you're without the net when you leave the military, but that I just love that vantage point of it does cause you to, you know, build more self-reliance and to have more confidence. Like it's just a very positive spin on what a lot of people on the show before have, you know, it is a negative thing to feel alone like that and to feel on your own. And so I love the way that you view that as an opportunity for growth. I think that's a very cool way to approach this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's something that, you know, nobody expects, you know, when you don't get the job that you wanted or things don't line up, you know, the way that you do. But it's just a different dynamic. In the civilian life, it's just a different dynamic. You just have to understand it. And it is meant to fall 1,000 times and get up 1,001.
Yeah, I love it. I love that tenacity. Well, Alejandro, thank you for your time today. Thank you for the example for the veteran community. And yeah, it was great chatting with you today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Justin. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for listening. I've got a lot of great interviews lined up. I appreciate the feedback for all of you who have posted that at the website, in the show notes, to email at justin@beyonduniform.io or on LinkedIn. And I appreciate your patience if it takes me a little bit of time to get back to you. If you are enjoying the show, a couple ways to help out is to spread the word, share this on social networks, share this at your base, wherever you are, get this in front of more veterans. iTunes reviews surprisingly do help. If you're able to take 10 seconds to leave that review, it'd be greatly appreciated. Thanks.